host of this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I'm so thankful to have you listening and joining us here on this program. Our very special guest, Mr. Bob Fletcher. Bob Fletcher Investigations, just a tremendous, tremendously well-informed guy, sharing his information with all of you. Before we get back to Bob, I just want to mention something about satellite phones. You know, we've seen, if you're old like me, you went from a rotary phone to a push-button phone, and then we've seen the cell phone industry develop and evolve. Now you've got smartphones. But what happens when the entire system goes down? What happens in that event? Well, you need some way to communicate with your family. I used to think satellite phones were just simply for the wealthy. Well, out of range of my pocketbook. Was I wrong? I spoke with Eric Tallman from the satellite phone store. Satellitephonestore.com. That's satellitephonestore.com. And here is what we have found for the Hagman family. Right here. This is what we found to be the best use of our communication dollar. Now, this is the Iridium 955 phone, satellite phone. I can tell you that Steve Quayle has one, and his wife. I've got one for my wife. They're very affordable. The plans rival those of cell phone plans, and when everything goes down, you still have the satellite phone. This is the way to communicate in 2017 and beyond. I cannot recommend this highly enough. And I, for security reasons, I'm not going to get into a couple of situations where we had to use these telephones. But I'll tell you this: they work. They work well. They're very effective. I want everyone out there to explore the possibility of you owning not one, but two of these satellite phones. One for you, one for your wife, one for you, one for your children. It doesn't matter. Whatever the configuration, contact Eric Tallman from the Satellite Phone Store at satellitephonestore.com, or just simply go to hagmanreport.com and click on the link to the Satellite Phone Store. These are, and you get a holder for the phone, antenna, adapter, earphones, you know, earbuds, the whole package right here for the Iridium 955. That's my favorite, by the way. Contact Eric Tallman at satellitephonestore.com and let them know you heard about them on the Hagman Report. But this is a requirement, and every day that goes by, ladies and gentlemen, I really believe every day that goes by, we're going to need to turn to this type of communication. And again, this rivals I've seen cell phone plans that are more expensive than the plans that go along with the satellite phone. Satellitephonestore.com. That's satellitephonestore.com. Tell them the Hagman Report sent you.
Our guest joining us now and in through the next hour is Mr. Bob Fletcher. BobFletcherInvestigations.com. He's got a DVD, Nibiru Incoming. Right before the break, we were talking about what's going on in Antarctica, the huge changes in the ice, the dangers that those pose, and the effects that could have on our world and our environment. Bob, go ahead and jump back in right where you left off. Bob, you there?
Did we lose Bob?
Disconnected. Also, I didn't tell him how long the breaks were either. I don't know.
Oh, you did. I think you said 3 minutes.
Okay.
All right. Well, we can just talk about ourselves.
We did lose him. We're going to get him back.
All right.
And again, our guest is Bob Fletcher. He's been on in the past.
2012 was the last time I thought he was on. You know, that's a long time ago. Four or five years ago.
This is a topic that is had gained a lot of traction, from 2010 at least until 2012, 2013. Especially around that whole, September 23rd, 2012, or December 20th, the end of the Mayan calendar.
Yeah,
a lot of
people
were focused on Planet X, on Nibiru, and it's not something that we've talked about in a while.
No, we haven't talked about this, but it's more than that. It's about the 2009 executive order that enables NASA and other astronomical entities federal government to classify any new planetary extraterrestrial discoveries as an issue of national security. It's about a lot of things.
The UN already did that in the 50s, but that's the thing we're going to talk to Bob about.
Go ahead. Hey, Bob.
Hey,
glad to have you back.
Yeah. Well, right. Whatever. Somebody stepped on the electric line, I guess. I don't know what happened. All right. So, yeah, you guys were talking about, for example, big, strange thing. And again, if people, if you're not, in the middle of it, it's impossible to keep up with it all. And thank God for guys like you, with your program on a regular basis. It's so important, at least for those people that care. A lot of people don't even care, the potential of the seriousness of some of this stuff. But something that they did do a little while back in 2009, they didn't make a big deal of it, but what they did was they said, although they've kind of, this has sort of been a mandate for many years, and that is keep everything secret. Anything, just in general they do that, but in terms of anything out there in outer space, going back literally the year was 61, it became a mandate that in general, anything that's unknown, that's discovered by whether it was an astronaut, somebody that walked on the moon, or anybody else, anything unusual at all that may be considered frightening for the general public, they said we're going to classify and keep it secret until we decide if we want to let them know. But recently, in 2009, they did a separate, I believe it was strictly under executive order, but it was simply that any unusual space junk debris or rocks, meteors, if you will, or asteroids, anything of that becomes discovered, that's all classified until they can determine if they want to tell us about it. And that doesn't count things like what we saw a couple of years ago in Russia, where that meteor came in and exploded, and it actually, nobody had seen it coming. They were anticipating some other little thing, and it took place, but then they didn't even know about that good-sized meteorite that came in and blew apart just above in Russia, and blew thousands of windows out and injured about 700 people. Fortunately, nothing even close to what it could have been, but nonetheless, that's a case similar to what we potentially might be seeing here with the Nibiru of Planet X, and that is that was coming in from, to quote NASA, behind the sun in a direction that had it sort of unseen by us, even with our telescopes. So that's kind of strange. Maybe in fact they did know it was coming and kept their mouth shut. I'm not sure about that. Talking about the changes. Yep. Sure, go ahead. If you got a question, or you want, go ahead, please.
Well, I just wanted to make sure we get back to Antarctica.
Sure.
You mentioned right before the break how they used to basically do week by week flyovers and tracking progress of cracks in the ice and whatnot, and how with the changes in the weather, how it's become a much more, I don't know if I should say dire situation with Antarctica, but there is.
Well, no, it is, it already is dire, believe it or not, much more than people realize. What's happening, again, the big thing visually is you can see, and you can look these things up. There are a lot of good, even YouTube things that are available that you can at least get some kind of a look at. But the glaciers are running now, instead of being these slow-moving massive pieces of ice that move in and move out, almost like a slow-motion version of lava coming in and coming out over periods of 10, 20, 30 years, small amounts. At this point now, it's almost like on the edges of many of the glaciers, it's almost like chopped ice. It's just falling. It's like if you were taking a big bucket filled with chopped ice, and it used to be like pouring maple syrup out of the bucket, and now it's like just finely chopped ice you would have in your Coca-Cola and pouring that out of a bucket onto the floor. That's what's going on with the glaciers. It's terrible. And again, as I mentioned, of course, which we do know a little bit about, that the one gigantic iceberg that has broken off the size of Pennsylvania or whatever it is really big, and the biggest ever, I guess, in modern time. But what happens is, again, something, if you don't know about it, you don't get into it, you don't know about it. But the global weather is pretty much regulated almost and moved and adjusted related to the underwater currents that circle the globe in both an east coast and a west coast. And it moves, it's like a three-dimensional figure eight. And by three-dimensional, what I mean by that is the colder water going in these currents, huge currents. The volume of the movement of these underwater currents is horrendous. You know, cubic yards and tons of water. And the warmer water goes to the top, comes up to the surface, and then the colder water up by let's say Iceland or the North Pole goes down and circles around all the way from the North Pole to the southern part of Chile, and then it comes up and it moves all the way around and even over to Africa, where it becomes warmer and then comes up it becomes warmer and moves up more to the surface. So it's kind of a three-dimensional flowing thing, going southerly in warm warmer water or the colder water down, and then the warmer water up. But what happens, that the salt content of the ocean itself is what constitutes whether it's going to be very quickly cold or very quickly warm, and the variations of how this all affects storms. All of the storms that are created, it's relative to the temperature on the surface of the water, etc. And so what's happening, we are seeing literally the salt content of the ocean slowly modifying because of these gigantic glacier melts and huge floating icebergs. It's changing the salt content. And that is and will literally for 1,000 years, that's going to make a progressively continuing change in the entire global weather. So what we are seeing right now is not, we're not going to see next year where everything, where all the crazy floods and storms and freezing, and like we've had snow up here where I live in the northwest part of the country now where I'm living. It's snowed every day up here for about 40 days. All right, so it snows, it goes away a little bit of snow, then it goes away a little bit, you know, but we have 4 feet of snow out in the front yard because of that. And commonly, even in the Northwest, we don't have that. And we don't have all these unbelievable storms, the tornadoes and all of that stuff. We just don't normally have it like that. All records are broken on all these things in the last 3 years progressively. And the media storms, which I think I mentioned briefly, those have increased. Volcanic activities, 45 to 52 of them reactivated in the last 4 years. These things are all permanent changes we are going to see, and one thing affects the other. Volcanic activity in one area or three, four areas will constitute an earthquake someplace between them, because the crust of the earth is being disrupted in three or four places. You can almost triangulate now. So these are all real events. Then there's other things. I'm going to move away from it just slightly for which you mentioned just going into the break. The question of what's going on with there have been a lot of executives in the last year or so visiting the South and the North Pole, but one thing in the North Pole is rumored. I don't have any real good definitive proof of what it is, but it's a couple of possible things taking place along with the melting of these poles, both of them, back at the top and the bottom, the north and the south. They're exposing some structures up there. One thing, there appear to be, and they haven't been exposed well enough yet, but it appears to be the possibility of some pyramid structures under the ice for the last 20,000 years that are now becoming literally exposed to where it looks like there may be some of those at the poles. The other thing was, of course, back in the 40s, during the war, Hitler went and set up some underground facilities as military base in the North Pole. When he invaded Russia, since it was close enough, he decided that he wanted to make sure he was set up ahead of time in the pole, and he set up some secret bases there. There is a story, again, of even a military confrontation between the Americans and the Nazis during that period of time, where they actually had a physical skirmish up there in the North Pole, and basically the story was that we got run out of there. We had a couple of battleships with a lot of 4,000 or 5,000 people on, you know, up there, and we got chased on out. But then part of that story was that it was alien craft that got involved with that. And again, it's something that I don't personally have good enough information on that, but that's a possibility. And then that also links to. And again, this comes through some of the people recently, big shots from several countries, including Obama, theoretically made a secretive trip up there to look and see what had been discovered. The other thing that has been said to have possibly uncovered now with the melting of the ice is an expansion of what's considered to be the opening into the hollow earth at the top of the poles. I've seen a lot of extraordinary, interesting pictures. It's always hard now to separate real stuff from false stuff, but the possibility that it was Admiral Byrd way back many years ago that had made a lot of news by saying that he had discovered an opening into the earth, and that a whole section, a big, huge amount of the globe itself was actually hollow with an entrance at the North Pole, and that he actually flew in there and was run out by alien beings. And there, again, it was not something that was poo-pooed, because right out in front, I guess half of the people thought he was nuts, and the other half didn't know what to make of it. But that's also said to be possibly something that's been uncovered with the melting away of some of the ice up there. And again, it's kind of a, you know, until it's, I became a whistleblower myself, of course, many years ago from my exposure to what was going on. And so my attitude on whistleblowers, even if they're maybe extraordinary stories like Admiral Byrd and the Hollow Earth concept, I don't throw cold water on it until I really like to prove to say, well, hey, this has some merit, or 100% is accurate, or it's baloney. So I'm a little slow on throwing stones at what might normally sound crazy to us, because God only knows the things that have gone on in the last 100 years on Earth have sure all been labeled, could be labeled crazy, that's for sure. So, yep, do you have any other questions? I have a few other directions to go here, but
well, do you have anything? Yeah, there's a number of different directions we could go.
Go ahead.
You started talking about Admiral Byrd and the possible Hollow Earth, and another possibility is, you know, some kind of ancient fallen angel technology that could
right.
be down in Antarctica. Before we move too far away from Antarctica, all the personnel that have been going down there the last few weeks, last few months,
right.
Any speculation on exactly what they're doing?
I really want to know. Tell me under what circumstances this sitting Secretary of State would go to Antarctica.
Yeah, former astronaut, walked on the moon, Buzz Aldrin, who went there and then passed away shortly after that.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, you know, again, it goes back. It goes back to the story that really seemingly has a lot of credibility, but you know, the ability to keep things under wraps has grown so well since World War II, that period of time, and then of course in the 60s when we started, you know, really getting into exploration, off Earth exploration or whatever, and they just came out with a mandate that just basically said, we will tell the citizens nothing until we have just talked about it and discussed it, and if we decide, because we are the almighty, I guess, up there in Washington, if we decide that it's okay and we think so that they're intelligent enough to handle it, we'll tell them. Otherwise, we just keep it secret, and their capability of shutting things down is pretty good, because you have to remember, they did that the gigantic program for creating the atomic bomb. And nobody knew that it was being done. That was pretty slick. The bottom line was they had like overall 100,000 people working on that in little bits and pieces, and nobody knew what they were doing. And then all of a sudden they tested it, it worked, and we dropped it on Japan. So the a lot of times people say big things, they can't keep it secret, but unfortunately, you know, the bad news is they darn well can keep it secret if they, and as a matter of fact, some of what I'm saying right now will be clarified in my new project coming out, but the bottom line is they can keep it secret. And the closest thing that really is tangible that we can look at with the possibility of alien technology or something of that was what I mentioned when Admiral Byrd, they went up, he made, quote-unquote, you know, the surprising discovery that it appeared there was an opening, and he went into it and flew back out of it, apparently, big enough opening to do that, and then claimed, you know, there was, you know, this whole civilization kind of thing going on there, at least in part of it, inside the globe. And apparently, earlier, the Nazis under Hitler had gone under in there on the same concept. I mean, he had an entire base or two or six set up and around in and around there when he, like I say, about the period of time after he had invaded Russia. Then, apparently, like I say, there is records to the extent where there was an operation where they went up with a couple of battleships and actually had some kind of a battle. And originally, it was said to have been up on the basis of going after Hitler and discovering what he may be doing there in the Arctic. It was 1942 when Hitler had invaded Russia, and in around the period of time of 44, they had a couple years later they had a couple stations bases up there, and they had to close most of them down because guys got sick from eating bad polar bear, which is kind of strange. They put together an entire couple of a fleet, a program. I'm trying to remember what in world what the exact name of that was. It was Operation High Jump. The Operation High Jump, we went in 1946 up to destroy whatever German bases were up there. And somehow the word that came back was that flying saucers had been sighted and actually had, in fact, kicked our tails and ran us out of the waters up there. So I've never gotten, I'm occupied with so many other things, that part of it's something that I've never gotten into good detail. Most of the time when I put something into any of my research DVDs, I could say it's like 85-90% correct, and it's, you know, and which is hard to do, but in this case, I've not looked into it better than to just tell you. Other folks can look it up and maybe do some research. It was called Operation High Jump in 1946, and the period of time after that, right around in that, where they claimed there was UFOs, unidentified flying objects, firing on our battleships, and we ended up turning tail and got out of there. So how much strength there is to that, I don't know. But that potentially, if now recently, with the melting of all of this stuff and things clearing away, 20 feet of ice, 30 feet of ice melting away, all of a sudden now they may have come across what would constitute either alien craft, or maybe it's just a huge old German base that had some technology that was ahead of ours. I'm not sure.
Okay.
One little caveat to that. There also was stories in Vietnam. During the Vietnam War, there were also stories about a battleship or two that all of a sudden they were shot, they were fired upon by UFOs, and again, I can't, this is something that I'm just giving you as an anecdote kind of situation here. I don't have any proof on this, but I have
seen...
Well, Bob,
we're up against the break.
Sure,
we're up against the break. When we come back, we'll pick up right here with planes firing on UFOs in Vietnam.
And then UFOs firing on planes.
Yeah, yeah. And then we got a half hour, 27-minute segment. Will be the last segment that Bob's with us. Bob Fletcher, investigations.com. He is our guest. His DVD, Nibiru Incoming.
I can't wait for his new one. I mean, I can't wait.
New project. And we'll be right back with Bob Fletcher. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
From all of us at Trading Post in the Woods,
we pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people. Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free.
Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes.
You keep holding on.
That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com for news, information, analysis, show prep, things you need to know for the show and for your, well, just for your betterment. HagmanReport.com. Hagman and Hagman.com. There you can watch the show and get a handle on all things show related. Our very special guest, Bob Fletcher, BobFletcherInvestigations.com. Talking about a number of different things, a number of strange things, you know, out of the ordinary, but it applicable for today. This gentleman is, he's got his finger on the pulse of what's taking place outside of our normal purview of things. Before we get back to Mr. Fletcher, I want to thank Ellen Riggs, greeninnovative.com. Folks, if you haven't gone there yet, go to greeninnovative.com. There they have the G-Mag power cell. It's a battery charger that needs no hand cranking, no sun, no electrical outlet to recharge your rechargeable batteries or even your cell phone. It's a great company. It's, in fact, this is a fabulous company that it's U.S., U.S. born, U.S. made, G-Mag. They have put together this G-Mag Complete, especially for the Hagman Report audience. Go to greeninnovative.com. I want to thank again Alan Riggs. He's actually extending the 14% off discount on your entire purchase until March 15th. So go hog wild, buy everything you need and everything you think you will need, because you won't see this kind of discount again for a long time. I had a wrestle with Alan. Actually, I didn't. He, nice guy, tremendous man, and he's got a heart for everyone, I'll tell you that. And his product is second to none. It's a great little, battery charger, no moving parts, durable, EMP proof. It's fantastic. Little salt, little water, recharge your rechargeable batteries. And the replaceable magnesium pucks, which is the power unit for the source, of course, you can recharge a couple hundred sets of batteries without having to change the magnesium pucks. This is a great gift anytime, anywhere, for anyone. Greeninnovative.com. Go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link, or go directly to Greeninnovative.com. But again, remember, 14% off right through the 15th of February. Greeninnovative.com.
Bob Fletcher is our guest from BobFletcherInvestigations.com. Bob, just before the break, we were talking about things that were happening in Vietnam.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was interesting. And let me mention one other point on the, when we're talking about possibility on the interest of high-level people of a couple of different governments traveling up to the Arctic, et cetera. With the ice melts, it's believed that there are going to be discoveries and availability to mine some extraordinary minerals and huge quantities of untapped exotic metals and things of that sort that we don't have a lot of, that may be more prevalent at the untouched North and South Poles. So the possibility of extraordinary mineral resources may be another reason. Of course, that's not as exciting or as crazy as talking about hollow earth and alien possibilities and things of that sort. But it may be a more simplistic, but still typically a New World Order interest to the bad guys of the power structure, and that is the untapped mineral resources that they may have discovered a couple things, and that could be a reason for some of the big shots running up there. Briefly, I'll mention one more thing, and then I'll tell you about the Vietnam crazy story with that. And again, that's just I say it's just anecdotal, but it's a report from theoretically people that actually witnessed it. this story I'll tell you about the Vietnam weapons, etc. But I mentioned something else. The melting, when I was talking about the effects of the melt to our entire global current water system, the currents hot and cold flowing around the entire globe, both east and west. But in the last few years, what has happened when people think, oh, well, it's going to take a long time. You know, you talk about raising the water. You know, you talk about raising the level of the oceans, the seas of the entire globe. Gee, that's going to take a long time. As of a couple of years ago in Miami, and I have a son that lives down there still, and not that that makes any difference, but it gives me a face on a one-on-one down there. In Miami, the high tides, every time there's a basic regular high tide in Miami, the water has been going 4 to 6 blocks into the city of Miami Beach and damaging and shutting down businesses. And that literally is because of the increase in the height of the ocean at Miami Beach. All right, and there's only one reason. It's melted caps. Now, it's so bad, so serious now. They spent, I believe it's $400 million are allocated that much down there. They put pumps in all up and down the entire roadway to control just on high tides. Every high tide, it's out of control. And what a lot of us that live, of course, I lived in Miami for quite a while, but for people that never lived there, you don't realize something. I lived, one of my homes was in Orlando, Florida. That's midway up the state, and we were 7 miles, 8 miles from the coast, and my elevation in my front yard was 12 feet above sea level. So that's gives you an idea of how low the property is actually, and along Miami Beach. Anyhow, they actually physically have now put in millions of dollars of pumps, huge pumps, with the ability to try to balance out just the high tides. So that's another very visible, worrying problem, because once it starts eating away at the coastline, which everybody... A long time ago now, all the scientists, everybody said, oh, worst case situation, we got another 100 years, you know. We got another 75 years before we have to worry about it. No, it's already at our front door in Florida. So it's pretty crazy. Okay, so the Vietnam anecdote about the saucers. Apparently, the report was that... There was some kind of a battalion or whatever that was getting active military aggressive firing from unidentified flying craft, and they called in some ships close by the coast to return the fire. And when they were shooting anti-aircraft type weapons, the weapons themselves were being turned around in midair and fired back at the ships. That's pretty spooky. Now, again, whether that was, you know, I don't know. It's not something that I would ever report on as a reality, because I just don't have enough serious background information on it. But that was the story, and that's pretty spooky. They were told, they reported back to the Pentagon from the ship, and the Pentagon said, stop shooting at them. Whatever they're doing, just don't shoot at them. Get out of the way and leave them alone. But that's pretty crazy to think about that possibility of the ability to turn a fired weapon around at the person who was firing at you. That's pretty amazing. So what else can I answer for you that you may have thoughts about?
Well, Bob, I don't know where to start. I got a lot of questions.
Go ahead.
If we can go back to some of the basics.
Sure.
You laid out all these different changes, the government's actions, different stories. If there was one thing or a series of events that happened, what really led you to Nibiru or Planet X?
Okay, sure. Let me do that. And I want to point out to the particularly people that don't know much about my background. I have friends that go back 25, 30 years following since I very first testified in several cases in Washington. And the reason for that, by the way, was because it was all of these things like drugs and arms and criminal finance fraud, financial fraud at big levels and all of that. It was basically the same people over and over again. I would get calls from a senator or a congressman or whatever the case was, even somebody from the Pentagon, the CIA, the FBI. I got 125 pages on me in the FBI that's just basically my story, you know, about how I was taken advantage by this arms operative for the intelligence community. I worked with Sonny Bono. Sonny was murdered on the ski slopes relative to an investigation that we literally had worked 8 months. We were about to go on the floor of the Congress with a congressional inquiry that would have led right up to some of the highest level people in the Washington, D.C. at that time, around, well, it was 1997. I got a call from Sonny. They said they were 15 days after he came back from the Christmas holidays, we were going to open up the investigation. I had to get into Washington. I said I was ready to go. Let me know. I was really, really excited because we had subpoena power on a congressional inquiry, which they normally don't do because nobody up there likes to blow the whistle on somebody down the hall because they all have dirt on each other. It's like a continuing blackmail situation, you know, where, you know, you don't dare say anything about this guy that he may have been involved with this or this or this because you know that he knows that you were involved with it. So it's kind of that kind of a mess up there. And anyhow, Sonny had gotten subpoena powers. We were ready to go. It was drug connections into the highest levels of our government and agencies, and they killed him on the ski slopes, pistol whipped him to death, dragged his body up against a tree and left him there to, you know, he was already dead. And that was, they called me in December, and it was like 15 days later or 10 days later he was dead. And so anyhow, it's a little, I did do an investigation on that. That's available also at my website. If anybody's interested in that whole separate story unto itself,
yeah, I am.
Yeah.
But Bob, I'm sorry. Yeah, I just want to say I am interested. And so you have, is it for sale or is it free? Or?
Oh, yeah. No, I have it. It's available. I have about 10 or 11 finished reports that are for sale. They're available to everybody in DVD form. They are all, it's a mixture of things. Basically, it's government corruption at the highest levels. That's all things that I was directly involved with. It's not hearsay or secondary or anything. This is all things that I've been directly involved with myself. Okay. And by the way, I want to mention something. Everybody, if they can grab a pencil if they want to, I give everybody just a separate mailing address for those of us, those of our friends out there that are not totally into the computerization or want to order or something. I will send you, if you drop me a note, I'll send you a little catalog that is showing what we have. And I'll give you an address for you folks that want to drop me a note and ask me a question. If I can answer it, I will. It's, Bob Fletcher, Post Office Box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. That's box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. And drop me a note for you people that are not fluently excited about the computer. I don't want to leave anybody out. Now, where were we? I sidetracked myself with that. I didn't mean to do that. How I got into this. Yeah, and I wanted to make a real point to all of my friends out there and my new ones besides the people that have followed my work for so long. getting into the Nibiru thing, I really had to hesitate because I've never done anything. I call that kind of sort of the fringe stuff. It's kind of because it's something that, like, how can this thing be going on and not enough people know about it? And is this real? And like the flying saucers and things of that sort, not counting the stuff that U.S. government's doing now, but which changes everybody's view on things. But the I got into the Nibiru thing looking into the outrageous statement that Donald Rumsfeld made on the floor of the Congress back in 2001, about a day or two before the 9/11 event. And Rumsfeld came forward and said, he was the head of the Defense Department at that time, and he said, we have lost $2.3 trillion in our budget. And everybody, that's kind of like a wait a minute, what did you say kind of a thing. You know, he's sitting in the Congress going over different problems, financials and what have you, and he said they had $2.3 trillion that had disappeared from the budget of the Defense Department in 2001. Within a day or two, the 9/11 took place, which included the attack on the Pentagon, directly in the offices where all the documentation on that $2.3 trillion was, which is interesting. But we never heard anything about it again after that. But the point was, back a few years back, I started looking into, I had several people who said, hey, Bob, maybe you can look into this. There's billions here, $2 billion there, $8 billion there, $7 billion there, $2 trillion there, $4 trillion here, because there also was one of the major funding heads of the international banking had $6 trillion disappeared. They just couldn't. It was like they were asked about it by the Senate and the Congress. Not that you trust any of those guys. Please don't do that. But they asked. This guy came forward, or actually it was a lady, came forward, and she said, "We can't find $7 trillion. We're not sure. We put it out to the banks, but in Europe, but we're not sure." So they lost $7 trillion, or six point nine, or something like that. So somebody had come to me, and said, or it's actually several people, and they said, "You got to track this money down." When I started looking at the money, then I found all the underground facilities, these multi, and also gold that vanished, bullion gold that vanished, according to sources. So I discovered the underground facilities. There's 103 of them in the United States. Then I found out they were all over. The major nation governments had also been cooperatively building underground facilities for themselves. England, Germany, et cetera. And Russia. Russia had built a couple of gigantic underground facilities, big enough to hold multi-thousands of people, and smaller numbers also, but they had, back in 2013, put out a mandate to have as many as I think the number was 5,000 small, not giant ones, but 5,000 underground facilities for certain special members of the citizenry. So, anyhow, then once I found the underground facilities, then the question was, what's going on? This is an international thing. Money's vanishing. Gold is disappearing out of the Fort Knox. And what would be the reason? So then I started flipping over rocks, and then it came to me from outside sources, came to me, and they said, well, it's probably the incoming of Nibiru. And because I didn't know a heck of a lot about it at that time. It's not something I studied. And again, I'm not an astronomer. I'm an investigative researcher. So I said, oh, okay, what are you talking about? You know, what is that? So then I got into it and locked into a handful of astronomers and some scientists, et cetera, and followed their research and information, and also the biblical side of it. Some of the best information we have on the fact that Nibiru returned around maybe every either few hundred years or few thousand years in just a giant orbit and came around, and when it does, trailing three or four of its moons, it causes havoc, and it had caused the Noah's floods, yanked the waters out of the seabed, and had caused those floods that were all in the biblical, and all the other biblical statements relative to this event, you know, where the sun was blocked off for a long period of time, not a normal eclipse, blocked off, and all the storms and meteors and meteorites and things that were crashing onto Earth and slaying huge numbers of the armies during biblical times and things of that sort, and set the cities on fire and all of that. That is Nibiru, and it's not only in biblical, it's in the Revelations, and of course it's also in the Chinese writings of the ancient emperors wrote about tracking this fire dragon that flew across the sky, and going back all these different so many years back, and there's so much of it. The monks on the top of the Himalayan mountains back 500,000 years had written all this stuff in. Their scribes had written all this information in. You know, so it is literally all over in terms of biblical scholars, and that's a big part of my study that I have on the incoming DVD, and then also the discovery 1990 something of a disc. They call it the Sky Disc, and it actually dates. It's a placard, if you will, that was done in gold, inlaid in gold, and it tells the story in a placard kind of a design. It tells the story, and the exact date can be derived from it of when this thing came through, and the exact date now is failing me in my memory, but back a few hundred years ago, and it was discovered in about 1999. It's called the Sky Disc, and it is available. As a matter of fact, I have all coverage of that in my my DVD. But the point that I'm trying to make, I guess, is that I came to it by accident. I certainly would not be something that I normally would have gotten into, but I came to it by trying to find out how the Defense Department dares to just tell everybody they lost a few trillion dollars, and the banking system saying the same thing, that they had the Federal Reserve coming out and saying they lost about $7 trillion, and nobody paid any attention. You know, it's kind of like, oh well, let's go on or whatever. You know, so, and lo and behold, again, it was the building creating these underground facilities and changing their entire structure a few years back. And it was approximately 1983 when Ronald Reagan apparently was notified, because they had put some new telescopes out into satellites at that time. And the word came back, uh-oh, Mr. President, there is a planet X, and it is heading potentially back in our lifetime, so we better do something about it. And that was about 1983, the same time that Ronald Reagan went on the floor of the United Nations and said, I often wonder what would be the reaction on Earth if we all realized there was an incoming problem from outer space, and that I think we would all band together as Earth people and try to prevent that problem. And he made that speech on the floor of the UN around the period of time that he was notified by science that in fact the Planet X was real.
Very interesting. Bob Fletcher from BobFletcherInvestigations.com. His DVD, Nibiru Incoming, is available there. And you said you're working on a new project as well?
Yeah, and it's been time-consuming beyond my wildest dreams. I actually now have been working on it for, I hate to say this, two years. But it's extraordinary. No.
What went up?
And I'll tell you, the only reason, here's the reason why I don't want to talk about it yet, I've had so much difficulty putting this together. I have been hacked by government, and I know this because I hired a specialist to go over my computer. I've had computers burn up on me. I've had the loss of a month of work completely gone, even with my backups and all this kind of stuff. I brought in an expert quite a while back now, and I had him check it out. I said, what's going on here? And he just came back and he said, well, one thing, you've been hacked about 1,000 times over this last 7 months, and this is a while back, and he said all I can see with my experience, that's government. And he, by the way, knew nothing about Bob Fletcher. He didn't know what I did, and he said, I don't know what you're doing, he said, but all your problems has been there. So anyhow, let me get back to the primary reason. I don't want to say anything, because what happens is I'll have people that will be saying, I want to send you $25, make sure that you put one aside for me. And I don't want anybody ordering my product until it's on the floor. Because okay. I never know, and I'm 76 years old. By the way, this will be my last report. I can't physically, my health is not, where I'm probably not going to be able to do anymore. This will be my last report. But it's turned out that, yes, sir.
I don't mean to interrupt you. We're closing out the segment. We only got about 30 seconds
left. We're out of time, bro.
But I want to thank you for coming on, and you obviously are welcome back, and I know you were talking in the beginning of the show, you mentioned talking with John and coming back in a few weeks. And definitely,
when your
new project's ready, we'll have you back then also.
BobFletcherInvestigations.com. Yeah, folks, support this man. This guy's doing great work. Bob, thanks so much for your time.
Okay, thank you, guys. It's great to be back. You take
All
care.
Right, bro.
You have a good night.
Bye-bye.
When we come back, Robert David Steele will be our guest. He's going to be with us for the
updates.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the deep state, what's going on with the Trump administration, the Obama sabotage, and much more. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not cost constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in this community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.